I love a beautiful lawn. You love a beautiful lawn. Everybody loves a beautiful lawn, but they don't love how long it takes and how difficult it can be. And that is where True Green comes into play because it's the easiest and most affordable way to get that beautiful lawn. Let's be real. You've got plenty of other things to do in your free time than focus on your lawn care. So let True Green take care of all of that hard work while you get to do everything else that you want to do, like go play golf. Here's what you need to do. Visit truegreen.com, okay? It allows you to do you. Let them do the lawn care. And if you visit truegreen.com to get the best lawn at the best price with the best people, that is all guaranteed. You can trust True Green to give you the best lawn because they are the official lawn care treatment provider of the PGA Tour. They offer a satisfaction guarantee and they have a verified best price promise, which guarantees you the lowest price with no compromise on quality. It's truegreen.com. Get started now.
Take your business further with the smart and flexible American Express Business Gold Card. It offers flexible spending capacity that adapts to your business. You can also earn up to $395 in annual statement credits on eligible purchases at select business merchants. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/businessgoldcard.
First cut. Golly.
Welcome to the First Cut Podcast. I'm Rick Gaiman. That right there, Mark Immelman, who is not only here with us on the show, but he's in Charlotte. Good to see you, Mark.
Yeah, look who I got close. It's the bus.
How about that? Look at that.
What a day, apart from the fact that I'm wearing the wrong color hat for the results leaderboard right now. But I mean, from the start and the vibe and the opening ceremony, Rick, it was so cool. And Darius Rucker singing the national anthem moved me. I might have shed a tear or two. And it was just all very cool. So it was an incredible day.
Yeah, we'll go through the matches here. But yeah, it looks like I think they said there's 40,000 people out there. They've been talking about it being one of the largest build outs in President's Cup history. It does seem like the fans are there and they're kind of right on top of everything.
They really are. I was actually in the booth today. So, I mean, my experience on the golf course was yesterday and in preparation and stuff. And even then, the crowds were pretty big. But today, it was really cool and the vibe was great. And the build-out was nuts because what they've done with this golf course in clearing out trees and stuff, it's allowed them to do this sort of thing and really stage major events, like from the PGA Championship back in 17 to this, and I'm sure more ones down the track. So it's a sweet spot, and man, they've got people cramming in here, and it's gonna be rampant over the weekend.
We'll go through each and every single one of these matches, but I'll just spoiler alert tell you right now, the Americans earned 4 out of 5 potential points. It's 4-1 after day one. And Mark, I think there were moments this looked like it could have been 5-0. There were moments that I think it looked like the internationals were going to steal 2 points late. It could be 3-2. It's 4-1 going into what will be historically, or what has been historically, a better format for both internationals and Europeans, because these foursomes have just seemed to always gone in favor of the Americans.
Which is just so curious. And I mentioned this earlier today in the setup when I was on HQ on their news show, that, you know, us internationals, when we home, you know, as kids and young golfers coming up, there are lots of inter-club league matches. And in league matches, you play alternate shot in the morning, then there's lunch, you play singles in the afternoon. So we play a lot of alternate shot. And the question was, well, why have the internationals struggled? And my counter to that was like, truthfully, I don't know, but I'd have to think that maybe it was easy just to pair players from the same country together because of the language barrier. But my brother, Trevor, captain, went through more data and analytics this year, and he paired off players whose games were supposed to pair off and match well. And on paper, it seemed like they would work, but just the Americans are an immovable force. And they came out, and you look at Cantlay and Shoffley. I mean, those two can complete each other's sentences, and they were just both playing so well. And Jordan hit Justin into some spots today where I'm sure in the team room, Justin's like, yo, Jordan, you get me a beer and I'm going to put my feet up because I've worked so hard. But that's why they work well together, because they're buddies that way. Cam Young, Colin Morikawa could be a star-studded group, and Scheffler and Burns. Man, I actually wagered a dollar with the guy to my right over here and lost on that one over there. And then Finau and Homer. So it's just a question today to me, Rick, where it's, you know, one team was outmanned, and tomorrow, now they've, Captain Trevor's talked about playing free. Well, they better play free tomorrow and make a whole bunch of birdies.
Yeah, match number one, Patrick Cantlay and Xander Schauffele versus Adam Scott and Hideki Matsuyama. It was an American drubbing, 6-5. This unstoppable force of Patrick Cantlay and Xander Schauffele, when they get together in team formats, there's just no stopping them. They looked to be firing on all cylinders during day one.
Yeah, they truly were. I was on the call for the end of the match there, and I was working alongside Craig Perks, the Players' Champion. He's been around the block some, and he was like, what a victory. And I'm like, Craig, that wasn't a victory. That was a statement. Because let's take a step back and remember that as the host team, Captain Love had the first pick to put a game out there, but he deferred to Captain Trevor. So the internationals put out what was, you know, the two veterans, kind of the tip of their spear. And it didn't take Davis Love barely blinked. He didn't even bat an eyelid and counted with Cantlay and Schauffele. So he was like, you guys going with them, we going with our number one lineup. And it wasn't even close early. The thing was one-sided from the very word go. And 6-5, I think, was honestly emblematic of how the game went, because Adam and Hideki were never really in it.
Yeah, you mentioned Adam Scott, Hideki Matsuyama, the tip of the spear for the internationals team, for the internationals. Do you think they get split up? Obviously, we're going to find out the pairings probably while we're still hot here. But after a loss of this magnitude, I would find it difficult to see these guys going back out together on Friday.
I actually pitched that question to Perksy on the air. I'm like, do you split them? And he goes, well, I was like, do you sit Adam? Because he had a case of the lefts off the tee going on in the biggest way. And the way this golf course sets up with four par threes on the even holes, it's perfectly set up to let the good driver drive it and then the good iron player hit iron shots. And Adam just drove it very poorly. And so I said, do you sit Adam? And Craig Perks was resoundingly, he goes, you don't do that. You put him out first again and you let him go and prove himself. And I was sort of somewhat on board with that. Then I bumped into Colt Nost, colleague of mine earlier, and I'm like, so did they bench Scott? And he goes, hell, they better. And you know, as I sit right now, I don't think so. I don't think you put Adam on the bench. I'm sure that he and Cam Davis will play some four balls together.
Yeah.
And that might free up Adam some, because Cam looked nervous early, but he came into some form late.
Yeah, I don't think you can afford to bench Adam Scott, but let's get a different feeling out there. Let's mix it up with him and somebody else for day number two. Match number two on Thursday, Jordan Spieth and Justin Thomas going up against Sung Jae-im and Corey Connors. Mark, you alluded to this. There was some Jordan Spieth kind of short game magic, and then Justin Thomas was able to do what JT normally does, and these guys go on and win 2-1.
They showed to me exactly what match play represents, the sort of head-to-head thing where there was an exchange on the 15th hole. It's ordinarily the 18th, and I'm so proud of myself to have remembered that, because I've called the Wells Fargo for so long here, where they are out of position. Jordan's hit a toe hook down the left-hand side. JT's hit in the back of the green. Jordan putted it off the green, and the internationals are pitching from green side up to about 5 feet. They are on the front foot to square up the match. JT holes 15, 20 feet uphill, internationals miss. All of a sudden, they two up. And that was like who they are. And it's why Jordan Spieth is the worst guy that you want to draw if you're playing match play, because he's going to look like he's completely out of it. And then he just does some sort of a pitch shot, chip shot thing. And then he doesn't just get the ascendancy on the scorecard. He just gets into your soul with that stuff, you know. And so he's such a tough out in that combination. They feed off each other. Like Jordan was hitting it all over the joint. JT was getting pumped up and stuff. And they're just a good combination. And I expect you'll likely see them in four balls too.
Yeah, the 15th hole, almost a two-hole swing there, because the internationals could have stolen it. JT buries that putt, gives the Americans a two-up lead with 3-2 play. Corey Connors did not look like Corey Connors, Mark. He hit a lot of kind of awkward iron shots that missed by a mile. We're used to him being a lot more dialed in than we saw today.
for the folks on YouTube, watch this. That's strokes tightening sphincter area. And that's real. And that's where I'm going to say to you guys always, I'm like, not all 5-footers are the same. Not all tee shots are the same. Not all iron shots are the same. And coming out, Sungjae just blasted one down the first fairway and Corey stung an 8-iron in there to about 15 feet. And I'm like, wow, he's looking comfortable. But from then on, it was kind of a little scrappy. He was just a little off, just not there. You know, he just didn't look completely comfortable. But he is one of the leading players on the team. Captain Trevor will ride him in all of the matches. And so he'll go out tomorrow, and I expect maybe alongside Taylor Pendris, he might play a little bit more free and start to do what we expect Corey to do. But it's a case for, you know, what happens inside here in your heart and in your guts and inside of your head when you're really under pressure and this game kind of the walls start closing in on you, you know.
Two American wins in matches one and two. Match number three, that's Cameron Young and Colin Morikawa versus Tom Kim and K.H. Lee. Mark, I've got a lot of thoughts about this. The combination of Cam Young taking any line that he wants off the tee and then Colin Morikawa getting to hit the approach shot from wherever that ball ends up is a cheat code.
I actually joked on air, and my colleague at the time, John Swantek, laughed. I'm like, if Colin Morikawa, I'm sure he said to Cam, if I could play off the end of your tee shots every round, I'd be in the Hall of Fame already, because they just match off so well. And they kind of resemble, to me, Dustin Johnson and Colin Morikawa at last year's Ryder Cup, where the golf course sets up for this. Now, tomorrow, when it's four balls, it remains to be seen. But I tell you what, you can write this in ink that on Saturday morning foursomes, you will see these two again, and you might see them in the anchor match if things are tight. You might see them off real early if things are a little bit more free for the Americans, because the way the golf course stacks up with all of these even holes, allowing the good iron player to play those and allowing the good driver to go off the odds, it's a match made in heaven for those two.
Yeah, the other side of this matchup, Tom Kim and K.H. Lee, there were not a lot of huge emotional moments for the international team on Thursday. Tom Kim tried to produce some of that himself. I think he gave us the biggest international fist pump and yell that we saw. I love everything about this 20-year-old.
He's so good, and the word from the locker room is that he's already a lightning rod in there, and he's, what, 20 years young, I think it is, and for such a baby face sort of a guy, he's got this big personality, and he's not afraid to poke fun at himself, and he's not afraid to get up in someone's face as well, and we saw that today, and I think the future's, well, I don't think, I believe the future is bright, and the beauty about it, and I'm going to talk golf instruction now, the way he swings it, he doesn't put a whole lot of stress on his body. So this boy, barring anything kind of out of the ordinary, is going to be around for a very, very long time. And just like Corey Connors, he's going to play all five sessions. And they were pretty good today, he in KH, and just kind of ran into a buzzsaw with Morikawa and Young. But I feel like you'll see him tomorrow morning and tomorrow afternoon too.
So three matches in, three full points for the Americans, and there was a lot more red on the leaderboard, Mark. This was almost panic time. I'm sitting here wondering, are the Americans going to get all 5 points in this session? What is this going to look like? Because, like I said, it was just red after red after red on that leaderboard.
It was, and it was disconcerting at one stage, and with our footage, we saw some images of Davis Love, captain, who looked sort of very relaxed, and then you saw Trevor, who was in motivational mode. I saw him giving sandwiches to players and kind of patting people on backs, and I'm sure saying to them, hey, it's just one session. Just keep playing. Just keep your nose to the grindstone. Let's not lose the mood. And it seemed to kick in, because there were matches that were on the knife edge some. That Lee, Kim, Morikawa, Young game was sort of on the edge until it got closed out with a late birdie. Siwoo and Cam Davis turned things around. And Taylor Pendris and Mito Pereira squared up the match for a while till a bad finish. So there was, it looked desperate at one stage. But I was proud of my brother for kind of rallying the troops, if you will. and at least getting one couple to get out with a point, because it was looking bleak at one stage.
Yeah, so 3-0 for the first three matches, while the number one player in the world, Scottie Scheffler, and his best bud, Sam Burns, seemed to have match four in control against Siwoo Kim and Cam Davis. But Mark, something clicks for the international team, because Siwoo and Cam Davis win 15, 16, 17, 18, win it two up and add a full point to the international tally.
It was big, no doubt. And I think there's two things I can point toward. First off, Siwoo has played one of these before, so he looked more comfortable early. Cam Davis just looked downright nervous. You could see it in the comportment. The golf swing was out of time. There was a two-way miss going on. I mean, with just a medium iron to the par five, the seventh, he fanned it off into the water on the right-hand side. When you've got a backstop and a sideboard as big as the Great Wall of China to the left of the flag, and that was a cardinal error. And that just spoke to a guy who was out of sorts mentally and emotionally. Then on the next hole, he turns around and blasts a three-wood onto the drivable par four's green. And all of a sudden, it looked like someone flipped the switch and Cam Davis woke up. And then by the same token, Sam Burns, who has been just almost unbeatable the entire season, was really not as sharp as he normally is. And bar a huge par save on 17 for a half, he looked like a shell of himself. And that has some far-reaching effects when you're playing alternate shot and your partner's having to bail you out. So it's a good thing they're friends. I think it was hard sledding for them. I'm keen to see if Captain Love stays with them or if Sam Burns gets a seat, because he didn't look today like the Sam Burns we know.
Yeah, and I don't want to, understate this victory here, but let's look at this. I mean, Scottie Scheffler, Sam Burns, they won seven times on the PGA Tour this past season. If you look at the odds via our friends over at Caesar Sportsbook, Siwoo Kim and Cam Davis were the biggest underdogs out of any of the five matches today. And it looked like it was going to be another American win, but they were able to find, I think that's a pretty good takeaway. It's not a David versus Goliath moment, Mark, but to get one over on Scottie Scheffler and Sam Burns must feel pretty good.
It's not David versus Goliath. This is two things. It's 18 holes match play and it's alternate shot. I mean, you could almost throw the form book out. And I know I say that when you've looked at the first three matches and the favorites sort of walked away with them, although Spieth and Thomas and those games are sort of close. But when it's alternate shot, you know, if things start going in the wrong direction and someone who's not feeling very comfortable with a putter that hasn't putted for a while, then all of a sudden they're going to face a five-footer, that's crazy on your mind. And then if you're struggling with your golf swing, where if you're playing your own ball in a 72-hole event, you're hitting shot after shot after shot so you can sort of find something and play into form. But when you're hitting alternate shot, remember alternate shot might be a tee shot, a putt, and then 20 minutes later an approach shot. It's not like you're finding any groove. And Sam Burns and Scotty were the resounding favorites. But again, alternate shot is what the mitigating factor is there to me.
It seems like we've got the captains filing in, getting into position. It looks like we're going to get some pairings for tomorrow here shortly. We've got one more match here, Mark. It's Tony Finau and Max Homa beating Taylor Pendrith and Mito Pereira one up. This was all square going to 18. It was a great battle. And then unfortunately, Mito made, I don't want to say a similar swing that he made at Southern Hills on the 72nd hole there. That ball went low and right. This one went low and left, but you could again kind of feel maybe the moment got to him standing on the tee box.
I said this to Colton Ost because we were in the media center, you know, preparing for this podcast, and we had it on the big screen here. And as soon as he hit it to the left, I looked at Colt and I'm like, if he hits that tee shot at Southern Hills, he's the PGA champion. If he hits the Southern Hills tee shot here, they probably get out with a half, right? And that just shows you this nature of golf where it's so capricious and fickle too. So, yeah, it was once again an 18th hole fall down. But I would say that Mito Pereira did the bulk of the work today. He was a strong man. And bar that miss off 18T, which is probably he's really going to rue, I'm certain, because that was a valuable half point that they squandered there. He's got to put that behind him and get back in the saddle for a big run tomorrow, because he does look like he's playing well. and he was up for the battle today. I mean, he was essentially, to me, carrying Taylor Pendrith the entire day.
Let's zoom out a little bit. 4-1 lead for the Americans after session number one. However, four of those matches were fairly close. I mean, Spieth and JT didn't have their best stuff. Obviously, Siwoo and Cam get one over on Scotty Scheffler. Pendrith and Pereira take Finau and Homa to 18 holes. Is there a more positive view to take away from a 4-1 session?
Certainly. And all I can do, like I can't get into Trevor's head. And I haven't talked with him. I couldn't get into their captain's heads. But I can tell you this, and this is from personal experience. When I was the captain of the Arnold Palmer Cup international team, we were playing against a team that was wildly outmanned us. We were way underdogs. And after the first session, we were also big down. We were like 4-1 down. And the team's heads were sort of hung, and I pulled them together in the team room, and I'm like, let me tell you what I see. I see, 10 people, whatever it was, that really battled today. And I also see that you're only 3 points behind on the leaderboard. And that doesn't define you, because there's a whole lot of golf left. There's still four sessions like there are over here. So Trevor can preach that to them and say, look, we got out this with a point. Is it what we wanted? No. They likely would have been comfortable, I would think, with a 3-2 deficit, but they're 1 point back. And if you get out early tomorrow, you get a little black and gold on the board and you somehow get a split, whatever it is, 2.5, 1.5, 3.5, 2.5, 1.5, whatever it is. I'm getting my math wrong. But if you get a split, yeah, I'm all mixed up between Ryder Cup and President's Cup. If you somehow get a split, like 3-2 or something like that, then you sort of right back in things, and there's only 1 point in it with another 54 holes to go. And like we always talk about on this podcast, you know, we do a Thursday recap and I'm like, settle down, guys. It's only the first round. And then I'm like, start talking to me on Saturday afternoon, Sunday, midway through the round. And so Trevor's got to preach that to them and say, look, we got to just get to business. We got to do the fundamentals correct. Stop trying to hit shots that aren't on. Remember that par is a good score, especially around this place. It's a good golf course, even in four ball. And when you got a chance, you got to try and force the issue on the greens. You got to try and make putts, because today, I think the international team were soundly out-putted, and I'm sure the statistics would back me up.
Let's talk about four ball, because foursomes, as we already talked about, has been a format heavily favoring the Americans over countless Ryder Cups and President's Cups. Four ball, kind of a different situation. Everybody's going to play their own ball. There's a little bit of, I don't want to say luck involved, Mark, but you don't really, you know, if you can ham and egg your way through this thing, that'd be nice. But you might get some more comfy pairings. You might see some more guys playing with countrymen. You might see older guys playing with younger guys. Like, what are we expecting the differences to be for tomorrow?
You'll see some changes in the pairings. I'm pretty convinced that you'll see the Canadians together. Sungjae and Corey. They might split Sungjae and Corey, and Corey and Taylor will play today, and maybe Sungjae goes alongside Hideki or something like that. I don't know, but you will see some changes from the international point of view. The thing for the Americans as it pertains to this is it's an embarrassment of riches, and Captain Love could put anyone out together because they all know each other well. They've all got like what Trevor has been trying to build with the international team in this, you know, friendship, camaraderie thing off the golf course, because they play on the same tour, they speak the same language, and they're seeing each other in the locker rooms all the time, and they play together on the Ryder Cup. So whereas this international team plays once every 2 years, the American team, this team likely play every year. So Love can basically just roll the dice and go with anyone because they're all so good. They're all playing pretty well. You can pair off anybody together, and it's just a question of, do you make more putts than the opposing team? Because if you do, you're going to win your points.
We also have four golfers who did not play in session one, who can we expect to see in session two? It's Christian Bezuidenhout, it's Sebastian Munoz, and then on the American side, it's Kevin Kisner, Billy Horschel. Are we expecting an injection of new blood come tomorrow?
The rules go that they have to play once. Everyone has to play once in the first 2 days. So yes, you will see them, because in four balls, I don't want to say you can hide a player, but you can hide a player because, you know, everyone's playing their own ball. So maybe if one of those guys or more of them are not playing very well and that's where they sat, you can put them out, you know, with a gun tomorrow, and they can sort of be the anchor of the roll. It just sort of flies on the wing and once in a while does something special and maybe pops a birdie or two in there. So yeah, you will see them tomorrow morning, I would think. I certainly feel like Sebastian Munoz will, I have still got a sense that, he might be kind of the catalyst because he's that guy. He's mercurial. He's not afraid to mix it up and get in your face a little bit and pump some fists and stuff. So I think he'll be a pretty strong guy tomorrow morning if he's playing well. And for the Americans, I believe it'll be more of the same because these foursomes pairings, these alternate shot pairings, if you said to Captain Love, hey, on Saturday morning, you're going to get a 3-1 with alternate shot with these groups, I'm like, he'll be like, sure, let's keep going. Because as long as they split, if they split every session from now and they're winning, simple as that. So I can't see these alternate shot groupings changed at all from an American point of view.
Okay. Well, the other part that we're going to see here shortly when the captains kind of unveil what's going on with session two is that there is a strategic aspect to this, Mark, and there is kind of a you put out a team and then I'll respond with a team. And when it's 4-1 after day one, does that strategy change at all? Do you have to front load this if you're Captain Trevor to try to get some black and gold on the board? Can you not take the chance of being down 6-1 and having everybody look at these leaderboards and get deflated a bit? Do you have to go with your best straight out of the gate?
I'm not sure, to be honest with you, who gets to put out the team first. I feel like maybe it will be the U.S. because the U.S. deferred on the first go around, and so the internationals pick first. So I have an inkling, don't quote me, that it'll be Captain Davis first. And I believe that you don't just front load if you're Trevor. I believe that you just play matchups, that you look at the matchup and go, all right, those two guys, we're likely to see some of that out of them. This is who we best feel can match up to those. It's kind of like playing football a little bit. So I don't think it's time to panic. Maybe, you know, Saturday afternoon, if it's looking a bit grim, then you start front loading stuff. And on Sunday with the singles matches, but right now you just play matchups and you just run the race for the long haul still, because if this was a marathon, we only passed the quarter post barely. So you still play matchups and you still put teams out as you feel like they'll play their opponents as well as possible.
Mark, I'm not sure if you've noticed I've been vamping as we are trying to get. Okay, well, I think we're doing a pretty good job, though, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
You are a pro. You should have your name in your golf bag, bro.
So we are waiting for captains to get into place so that we can look at tomorrow's groupings, tomorrow's pairings.
Mark, let's do this. You and I will pick. We'll have Rick versus Mark, and then we'll hear what the captains have to say.
Okay.
See if we think they've got it right.
All right. Do we have to do it in the right order, or are we just picking teams?
No, we'll go matches 1-5. This is G. Let's go.
Okay. Match one.
Team sheet. Jacob, help me. All right, go.
Do you want me to take a team? Do you want me to be the Americans and you be the international squad?
Can you see my hat?
Okay. I am going to go with, I'm going with Scottie Scheffler and, Kevin Kisner.
Scotty Scheffler and Kisner. Well, I'm going to throw out, I'm putting Corey Connors and Taylor Pendrith out against them.
Okay. Connors, Pendrith. All right. Now you're up.
I'm going to give you Adam Scott and Cam Davis.
Okay. I'm going with Jordan Spieth and Justin Thomas.
All right. You'll go.
Patrick Cantlay, Xander Schauffele.
Oh, I'm going to give you then Christian Bezuidenhout. And I'm going to be creative on this one here. Siwoo Kim.
Siwoo. Okay. Now I'm going to get Horschel involved here.
Play the drop.
Siwoo, shaking that ass, shaking that ass, shaking that ass.
Right.
I didn't know we had the drop board on the on site. Okay.
Wrong.
There it is. Yeah, good. It sounds so much like him, doesn't it? I mean, I know. Okay. I'm getting Horschel involved and I don't love it, but I gotta get him with somebody comfy. I'm gonna give Sam Burns one more shot.
But is
Sam Burns and Billy Horschel. Oh, yeah, it's your pick.
It's my pick. I'm going with Sungjae and Tom Kim.
I love that. That's my favorite one. Okay, now you get Horschel and Burns.
Against Sungjae and Tom Kim. Sweet.
Yes.
Here's your next one.
So that leaves me, hold on, let me make sure I've got my guys right. Okay. I will go Colin Morikawa, Max Homa.
Okay, I'm going to sit Hideki so he can rest his neck and his wrist. So I'm going KH Lee and Mito Pereira. Is that all of them?
Yes.
Yes. All right.
Oh, man, I got, what a gift. You sitting Hideki against me.
That's just to protect him. Who's your final group?
Homa and Morikawa.
I'm dusting you with that group. That's come on. That's
no chance.
Kids play.
I have a couple of stat nuggets here. Here's one for you, Mark. Justin Ray, Cam Davis, and Siwoo Kim were the first pairing in President's Cup history that featured two players ranked outside the top 60 in the OWGR. Not the first pairing that won. The first pairing in history of two players ranked outside the top 60. So, of course, they'd go on to beat number one in the world, Scottie Scheffler, and number 12, Sam Burns.
Records are made to be broken, aren't they? And Everest was never scaled until someone scaled it. And the 4 minute mile was never broken until someone broke it. So, you know, keep telling me this stuff. This is for you guys just to have fun with the information.
All right. How about this? The updated odds from Las Vegas. The United States team, if you want to win $100, Mark, -2500 for the United States team. Internationals, 25-1.
I'm going to put just $10 on the international just for giggles, man. I mean, goodness.
Okay. I'm getting word. Yeah. I'm getting word.
Look at the board. They're out there. The Americans are deliberating so much right now.
So here's what we're going to do. We are going to react live to this. And Mark, you're ahead of me on television. But first, we're going to take a quick break and hear a word from our partners.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Check out our new NBA show, Beyond the Arc, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network, where you can find me, John Gonzalez, NBA insider Bill Reiter, and Ashley Nicole Moss 5 days a week talking all things NBA. Whether you're looking for insightful discussions, upbeat commentary, breaking news, interviews, or coverage of all the biggest stories in the NBA, our new show is the place to be 5 days a week. Download and follow Beyond the Arc on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your favorite podcasts.
And we're back. Never in the history of President's Cup have we had someone in the media center giving us the live teams as they come out. That's about to happen because the captains are up there, Mark, aren't they?
Yeah, they are. I'm looking at it. I can't hear them on the big scoreboards in front of us. We've still got the results from today, which are nauseating with all the red and white and just one black and gold. And right now I'm looking at the Americans must have pitched a team because the internationals are in the huddle right now. And Trevor's just pulled up the microphone close to him. So we're waiting for whoever it's going to be.
Who'd we get first, Jacob? Do we have the first team that went out?
Yes, we've got match number 6, Jordan Spieth and Justin Thomas versus Adam Scott and Cam Davis. Hey, I was right with my pick. Look, see.
Okay, there you go. And this is actually, we actually had this match correct. So I had them going against Thomas and Spieth as well. So Jordan Spieth, Justin Thomas, Cam Smith, Adam Scott. Okay.
Sounds like a wine bet.
Scott and Davis.
Match 2. Scottie Scheffler, Sam Burns, kept together.
Wow.
Versus Sungjae and Sebastian Munoz. Didn't I pick that one too?
No, you had Sungjae and Tom Kim.
Okay.
Surprised to see Scheffler and Burns together again?
Not really. They're good buds. You've listed them. I mean, they were arguably one of the best teams over here. And Scotty is good. So, no, you got to keep them together.
Munoz will make his appearance in match 7 and then in match 8. Kevin Kisner is going to get his first action. Christian Bezaidenhout going to get his first action. So it's Kevin Kisner and Cam Young for the United States going up against Mito Pereira and Christian Bezaidenhout. There you go. A couple of guys making their debut, Mark.
I like Mito. He's playing well this week. Christian is a fantastic putter. I like that combination for the internationals. I really do.
Cam Young and Kevin Kisner might be the two most different golfers.
Well, look, it's, that thing is kind of in a way like Colin Morikawa and Cam Young together, but just where Cam Young's going to do Cam and Kis is going to do Kis. And the one thing they're going to do is they're not going to be talking much because from the fairway, there's going to be like 40 yards difference between the two of them after their tee shots. But when they get to the green, Kis is going to even the score a little bit. So that's a pretty strong lineup. And look, the opening tee shot that Cam Young hits, that was like, you know, the big I'm up for the challenge kind of thing. And then to close out the match in the 17th hole, the match that had been tight the whole day, it's like a 30-foot birdie. He must be feeling like he is on top of the world right now, because it's uncanny how you can be so close in majors and make all this money and stuff and have Liv tossing the bank account at you. And then you make a putt from 30 feet and you feel like that one point that you've just earned is the most important thing in the world. So I'm sure he's feeling great right now.
Yeah, that was one heck of a roll there late. Here we go. Match number 9. A lot of big boys here. Patrick Cantlay, Xander Schauffele going up against Hideki Matsuyama and Tom Kim, Mark.
Yeah, my brother. He's going different to what I thought. Maybe that's why he didn't have me on the roster there for advisements in the post round stuff. Look, it's a good team. You got to keep Hideki playing. He wasn't that sharp with Adam today, but you give him some more running time. I was concerned, and this is good news for me, because I was concerned perhaps because he didn't really look that good, that perhaps he wasn't feeling that good. But if he's going again tomorrow morning, this is a good sign.
Okay, here we go. Match number 10, Billy Horschel will make his President's Cup debut here this year, and Max Homa versus the two Canadians, Corey Connors, Taylor Pendrith. So there you go, Mark. As you were all over, Scott and Davis are together. Connors and Pendrith are together. Probably a little comfier pairings.
Yeah, and I'm surprised Tony Finau was sat down, wasn't he?
Yes. Yeah, Finau and Morikawa will sit for the United States, which means that leaves no Siwoo and no...
Who's left out?
K.H. Lee.
Shaking that ass.
I'm having so much fun with this board.
I believe it's K.H. Lee and Siwoo who will not play, if I'm looking at my paper correctly.
Okie dokie. I need to look at these so I can give you what my prediction is for the morning.
So just a recap for those listening, and we'll get a slip in front of Mark so he can look at these. So here we go. Right out of the gate, Jordan Spieth and Justin Thomas are going back out. They will get the two Aussies, Adam Scott and Cam Davis. Match 7 will be Scottie Scheffler and Sam Burns going right back out together against Sungjae Im and Sebastian Munoz. We will get a new pairing of Kevin Kisner and Cam Young going out against Mito Pereira and Christian Bezaidenhout. And we'll have Patrick Cantlay and Xander Schauffele look to continue their success against Hideki Matsuyama and Tom Kim. And we will wrap it up with Billy Horschel and Max Homa going up against the pair of Canadians in Corey Connors and Taylor Pendrith. Those are the 5 matches for Friday.
Yeah, I'm the first match to me is nip and tuck. I feel like I give the advantage to the internationals in the second match, match 7, match 8. I like the look of Mito and Christian.
That's a good one there.
That is, and Kis is untested right now. He has played before. Cantlay and Xander, that's, you may as well go to the bank on that thing over there. And then Horschel, Max Homa versus Corey Connors and Taylor Pendrith. That's going to be a fun one to follow. And just because I'm wearing this hat, I'm going to give it to the internationals.
I'll tell you what, Mark, I'm not wearing that hat, though I would. But I think there's a lot of international opportunity here. I think it's a mistake to sit Tony Finau and Colin Morikawa. I know you got to get other guys in, but this feels a little... Hey, we've got this in the bag. We're the Americans. We can throw out anybody we want. I do not like what they just did here.
I'm with you, sort of. And if I'm Trevor now walking back to the team room and the guys are there in the room, I don't know, getting decompressing, probably getting some massage work and stuff and maybe having a drink, I'm going to read this out to them and go, hey, boys, I like the look of this right now. And give them the Ben Crenshaw thing and kind of lift the mood all of a sudden, going, I see a point here and I see half a point here and I believe you can beat this. And you start to basically profess stuff that hasn't happened yet, and you put today behind you very quickly. And then you just get your mind set for tomorrow morning, because in the end, it's all about mindset and being ready at the moment.
All right. Well, we will get five new matches. They're going off a little bit earlier. I believe it is 11 a.m. Eastern time or so for the TV coverage, because imagine this, playing four balls instead of two balls takes a little bit longer. So we open up the window a little bit earlier there. But Mark, we had a great, fun, exciting, course is looking good day one. We'll see if we can get a more competitive day two.
Yeah, and I must commend you. Your vamping skill is off the chart.
Thank you.
And your hat's not as cool as mine.
No, it's, I agree.
You were here.
Yes, I know. The merch tent would, I'd be bankrupt if I was there. So I'm glad I'm not. Big thanks to producer Jacob, who is right there in the corner of the screen. There he is, on site. Mark Immelman, you can find online at Mark_Immelman. You can find me at Rick Run Good. We will see you after the final putt drops on Friday. This has been The First Cut. Catch you next time.
Greetings, Fantasy Warriors. I'm Heath Cummings, your guide to fantasy dominance on FFT Dynasty. Join me this offseason where mock drafts become epic showdowns and every pick shapes your legacy.
If I was Adam, with the team that he's built, Will Levis makes so much more sense.
And that's not all. We're peeling back the curtain on the future with our exclusive 2024 NFL Draft Prospect Profiles. Uncover hidden gems that'll elevate your roster to legendary status.
Puka Nacua. After Cooper Kupp, we really have no idea who's going to get the targets.
Keaton Mitchell of East Carolina. Explosive speed is ridiculous.
This isn't just a podcast. It's a playbook for champions. Subscribe to FFT Dynasty now, and together we'll conquer the fantasy football frontier. Your dynasty journey starts here.